Howdy, my name is John Riccone. I'm Dr. Tom Cawthorn's graduate research assistant at Texas A&M in College Station. 2 years ago, in the growing season of 2008, we came up with a plan to evaluate a new issue that's come to commercial industry. What are the actual effects of strobing-containing fungicides on an upland season variety cotton that is commonly grown in the Brazos bottom of Texas? In an effort to prevent insect resistance, as of this past September 2009, Bolgard 1 generation was removed from the market to prevent any breakthrough degradation of tolerance and capability to control helio species of insects. Delta Pine 555, or triple nickel as everyone calls it, is the most planted cotton variety of all times. It's been planted on the most acres across the entire United States and throughout the world, and it was more than any other variety that's come to market so far. Delta Pine 555 is kind of the marker for a true full season variety. It has extremely rank growth. It has a lot of needs for plant growth regulators and develops a very robust canopy. Breeders are currently searching for germplasm lines, and Monsanto and Delta Pine have released two class of 10 varieties that may prove to be as good or a full season variety as the triple nickel variety. Benefits of full season variety include delayed initiation of cotton harvest in a multi-crop farm system, increased yield potential due to extended growing days till maturity, and your increased potential for such a vigorous growing cotton plant. The use of chemicals to counterpart plant stress may be a viable option to increase the yield potential and lengthen the season of the selected mid to full season varieties in order to parallel the 555 growth characteristics and yield potential. Previous research on strobilurin containing fungicides has been conducted in various crops, but to this point, except for the extension work that's been presented last year and this year, it's very minimum on cotton. You can see it in wheat, rice, grain sorghum and corn and soybeans, but little effects have been documented on what they can do to a cotton crop. Bertelsen and Dickinson stated that the possibility of yield reduction on wheat species, where I'm having to cross-reference and search for issues contained in this topic, on wheat species, saprophytic fungi may be reducing lint yields. And there's a suggestion that a broad-spectrum fungicide, as a strobin-containing fungicide, could prevent filamentous fungi from deterring from the lint from yield in these crops. Researchers in these articles also believe that this protection could postpone senescence in wheat that such saprophytic fungi induce, thus increasing yield. The two fungicides that are now labeled for cotton applications were azoxystrobin or quadris and pyraclostrobin or headline. These were both chosen for their fungicidal potentials and broad spectrum of field pathogens. This will come up later in the discussion, but many people say, well, what's the difference? We haven't positively identified the reactive site for these compounds, and the chemical structure of the compounds may play a large role in how these act on the plants after they're applied. The objectives were to determine the effects of stromin-containing fungicides on plant vitality during the blooming stage of growth and the resulting impact on final yield parameters. Ultimately, we wanted to determine the effects of these fungicides on plant health, quote unquote, to extend the growing season by delaying or slowing the movement of nodes above white flower through the canopy and thus delaying the maturity of the crop. To determine the potential benefits or consequences of tank mixing was the final objective. We wanted to know what would happen if we applied this fungicide or these fungicides in a tank mix with something that would normally go out at the early bloom plus 2 week timeframe in a cotton crop. My hypothesis was it was believed that with increased plant health care and the deterrence of saprophytic fungi throughout the field area, in the blooming period, we could extend an upland mid-full season variety all the way out to a potentially full season variety. And we also wanted to see if we could improve lint yield and yield parameters through HVI analysis. We did this at the Texas AgriLife Research Farm in Burleson County, just outside of College Station. The field trials were conducted over 2 years. I replicated the trial in 2 years on three varieties, but due to time restraints, I'll only talk about one variety in this conversation. We conducted this one, what I will represent here, on Stoneville 4554 Bolgar 2 Roundup Ready Flex. And treatments consisted of labeled applications of 6 ounces of fungicide at early bloom plus 14, and then we also had a tandem early bloom followed by early bloom plus 14 application. The data collected in the 2008 and 2009 consisted of height to node ratios, nodes above white flower, final plant mapping, lint yield, and lint quality. In 2008, we were hit by Hurricane Ike, and final plant mapping was removed from the setup due to the twisting and damage to the canopy of the fields where we conducted this trial. We analyzed the randomized complete block design using the SAS 9.2 system and set an alpha of significance at 0.1. There were 4 replications per treatment in the random complete block design, and 2 years are represented in these data sets. This is the plot layout for the fields. They were in the same field, and this is, it's one cell in this picture, but that's about 150 feet in the field, are represented by the solid white line in the middle. The field is fairly uniform, but with randomized complete block, you can kind of cull that out of an interaction. This is the treatment list. Treatment number 1 will always be our untreated control. 2 was Quadris, and I color coded this, so, and I'll try to follow that color code throughout the results. The red is at early bloom, which is symbolized by 5 flowers per row, and that row is 32 feet long. We had Quadris at 6 ounces, Pix at 4 ounces, Roundup Magnum 22 ounces to the acre. Pix and Quadris in tandem, and Roundup and Quadris at tandem. Those were all at early bloom. Then we came back and did Quadris again at early bloom plus 14, Roundup and Quadris, Pix and Quadris, and then the final treatment was the double shot, 6 and 6. Did the same thing, set it up the same way for the headline treatments. I won't go through all these again and bore you with this. Every treatment was placed in to say, does the tank mix hurt? Does it do better than the fungicide alone? And what could we find the best potential timing for this application of fungicide? In the Quadris trial, we actually saw numerical range difference spread out, but it proved to be insignificant statistically with a p-value of 0.2437. Nodes above white flower won't be talked about in these because of the need to remove the 2008 growing season on final plant mapping. All other parameters seem to be unaffected. There's numerical differences, but not statistical differences using the Quadris compound. In the beginning of the height on the June 17th, the node on June 17th, prior to that application, we went in and captured heightened nodes to confirm uniformity across the plot before the actual applications began. And there was no statistical difference observed in the field for being ununiform. The headline study, it's kind of, sorry that the screen's not aligned very well. We see statistical difference at 0.09 on the seed cotton. Turnout was affected and had showed significance, and then lint pounds was also affected at 0.02 as the p-value, and this represents 2 years of data. This is not just this year. I was extremely unlucky in the fact that in College Station in the last two growing seasons, we've had almost desert-like conditions. My poor student workers have suffered through it with me. If it actually had rained, I could not predict what the outcome of this study would have been, but I was lucky enough in these 2 years that the environmental conditions stayed fairly close to each other. Please notice that the headline, early bloom plus 14, was one of the highest, also with a roundup and headline. Those two were the highest numerically, but you can see the range as it splits out. Our highest value is 939 pounds, 940 pounds for the roundup and headline tank mix at early bloom plus 14, and that's compared to 741 pounds. So right at 200 pounds of lint difference between the untreated control and some of these treatments. This will break it out a little more so everyone can see it. White bars being untreated control, and red is the early bloom applications. Early bloom plus 14 is in blue, and yellow is early bloom, followed by the early bloom plus 14. Again, we didn't go at accelerated rates. The 6 ounces per acre is the labeled rate of what they recommend now. I was led in that direction by our chemical cooperators, with belief that that's what would land on the label, and it did. So we weren't off label applicating in this situation. Once we got our significant differences, I took it through Tukey's HSD's honest significant difference to separate, well, what does this treatment do versus the untreated control? And we grouped them in headline treatments, tank mix with picks, and tank mix with Roundup to see how they would compare back to the untreated control. The red again being first flower, blue being first flower plus, or early bloom plus 14, and yellow being first flower followed by. And we have our weights at the top, and to the right of the chart you can see what the Tukey adjusted p-value were for each of these treatments. Treatment 1 versus treatment 7 being untreated control versus headline at first flower is extremely significant, and you can see that displayed by the bar graph. All of them being significantly different in the initial model, treatment 1 versus 7 and treatment 10 versus 7 being significant using Tukey's HSDs. The Roundup headline tank mix, again, you see the untreated control on the far right-hand side. Treatment 8 versus treatment 1 is extremely significant, and you can see the difference in the scalar values. Again, we find that adding this to a tank mix of a commonly used chemical at this time would not deter any factors of lint yield. And then finally, the picks and headline tank mix. We applied picks at 4 ounces to the acre, and some people would say that's extremely low, but in the Brazos bottom with high heat, low water potential, and a heavy fruit load, it's about right. But we see no differences. We see statistical differences, but no detrimental effects due to tank mix with picks. So conclusions: at an alpha of 0.1, the parameters measured in this trial show no statistical difference with azoxystrobin or Quadris, and at an alpha of 0.1, headline significantly increased lint yield over the untreated control, either in tank mix or standing alone by itself as an application. However, all other parameters that were collected, such as nodes above white flower, height to node ratios, and lint quality, were not statistically significant, but were numerically different. Conclusions: tank mixes with picks and Roundup do not prove to be detrimental to lint yield or lint quality parameters. However, all other parameters that were collected, such as nodes above white flower and height nodes, again, were not statistically significant. The future work, I plan to carry this trial through my PhD. It'll be replicated for an additional 3 years, and in the coming years we need to really hash out what is being affected, and I will be implementing the use of a Lycor 6400 to measure the effects on respiration of the plant with the strobins, and sentinel plots will be placed for pathogen movement. I'd like to thank Dr. Tom Cawthorn, my advisor, Brad Mitten for his support and help in the trial, Fred Moore, Dr. Josh Bynum, Dr. Greg Steele, Mr. Gary Swartzlow, Vince Saladino, and Williamson County Equipment Company of Taylor for the use of their implements. And I'd also like to give special gratitude to the Cotton Physiology Work Group.
Any questions for John? John, what, as you showed in your data, you saw some differences with headline. And
yes, sir.
And noticed in your future work, you're going to try to find out. What do you think the reason is that you're seeing differences?
There's a lot of theoretical reasons why it's working. We're either affecting photorespiration in the high heat of the summer with limited water availability, or we're deterring saprophytic fungi. Okay. With those two in the PhD, Lycor should prove if there's any difference in photorespiration, and sentinel plots that to be plated out later in a lab should prove if we're deterring a saprophytic fungi moving through in the blooming period. So,
good. Any other questions?
Yes, sir.
Your lab stuff, you're going to test saprophytic fungi.
Yes, sir. I don't want to adjust it too much because I'll be replicating it out to 5 full years. The strobins directly affect respiration of fungi. That's why I'm led to believe that it's affecting the respiration potentially of the cotton plant in our fields. We need to plate out to find out what's there just so we can state, well, everyone was uniform before we applied, and we know and have identified what was there if there was anything. In the last 2 years, I've used Dr. Tom Isaacete and Dr. Larry Barnes of the Texas Plant Disease Lab, and they monitored my fields with me, and we never found the presence of a pathogen. But we were in high wind conditions, high heat intensity, and limited water availability into the fields, so it wasn't really conducive to having a fungus among us.
One more question.
Yes, sir, Dr. Fernandez. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, the question that I have is, you didn't measure any of the new components, so jumping to see whether strobins will affect respiration or photosynthesis or photorespiration, etc. I would rather see, try to answer the question, where is it coming from?
Yes, sir.
Is it coming from more balls or?
Yes, sir. Well, I tried to minimize it because it's such a lengthy presentation. We did final plant mapping. Total retention, first position retention, second position retention, and total bowls per plant were all taken into account. There was no statistical differences in it. We did not box map the study to find out if there was a difference in weight of the bowls. HVI analysis came back, and it was all the same. There were no statistical differences between any of the fiber quality parameters. In the future work, the potential to incorporate box mapping is high because of we have to isolate or indicate where, if I'm seeing these differences, where it's coming from.
Okay. We have a break scheduled for now. I've been asked to remind, good job, John.